Leviticus chapter 20. We'll follow on in the same book. I just want to call attention to a wonderful order here in a few chapters, carrying on in somewhat the same thought. Notice in verse 7, "Sanctify yourselves therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God." We have been reminded that God's standards do not change. They are the same in 1978 as in AD 30, the beginning, we might say, of this period. We are to be a separated people to the Lord. Go on down to the 24th verse, the last part of the verse. "I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people." That's what we are too, even as Israel, separated from other people, separated to the Lord. Verse 26, "And ye shall be holy unto me, for I am the Lord. I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine." We belong to him. He has separated us from other people for himself. Could anything be more precious than this? Now, that is the subject of this chapter, a people separated to Jehovah, as we in this day are separated and are gathered unto the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, chapter 21, we have something else. And he begins and talks about the priests. Verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Speak unto the priests, the sons of Aaron." How did they get into that position of being priests? Beloved, they were born into it. We are also priests, every true believer. Kings and priests, we are born into that position. We are there. We have this responsibility, the same responsibility as Nadab and Abihu, as Eleazar and Ithamar. They were born into that position. When it's Aaron and his sons, it's Christ and the church. And immediately we have seen when two were cut off, there was still Aaron and his sons. And though failure come in, and it does, there is still Christ and the church. We are to carry on. So, they were born into that position. But were we to have time, we could read this whole chapter. But we find that there is, in the latter part of the chapter, a holiness to occupy that position. And what I wanted to bring to our attention is what is often questioned about as to a blemished priest. We find at the end of the chapter, priests with a blemish. And you can read this in your own time. We only have a few minutes. But there are 12 marks there, which were a blemish, which hindered them from occupying that position into which they were born, as to offering the bread of their God. They could always eat of it, but they were not permitted to have that nearer place to offer the bread of their God. But there is one mark of those 12 which is not visible. All the rest were visible. We have had from this platform a reference to fornication by two of the brothers who were here this afternoon. The last blemish here pertained to the sexual organs. I have pondered about that. It seems to me that here is a mark which applies today just along with the others. That horrible sin leaves a mark which remains. You can read in your own time Proverbs 2 and Proverbs 6. Now, it's not a question of being a priest. It's a question of occupying that position in a holy way. Well, one just leaves that thought with you. And going on, for we only have a few minutes, the next chapter brings before us that the offering is to be without blemish. These chapters have a divine order. The people were separated to their God and were to be holy to their God. And then comes the priest, and they were born into that position. But in order to occupy it, there was to be a standard, and there still is. Now the offering is to be without blemish too. Chapter 22, just notice verse 19. Ye shall offer it at your own will, a male without blemish. Well, the chapter has much in it, and certainly the offering is without blemish. That we offer, we bring Christ to God. Everything must be of that character that he can receive. A priest without blemish and an offering without blemish. Now, based upon this order of these three chapters, we come to chapter 23, and we won't try to unfold it. You have probably heard it before. But it brings before us the purposes and counsels of God, about which we have been enjoying so much in our reading meetings. How God delights to have a people who are separated to him, who are going on in a holy way, who are enjoying that near communion to him, bringing to him Christ, presenting him. And then he, as it were, says, now I'm going to tell you everything. So in these seven feasts of Jehovah, we have a wonderful opening up of the purposes and counsels of God through time, all through time. Well, that is a wonderful revelation he gives. There are seven of these feasts of Jehovah. There's the Passover, which begins and reminds us of Christ and his death. And then there is the Feast of Unleavened Bread that goes along with it. And then we have the wave sheaf, which is Christ, the first fruits, resurrection. And then there are the wave loaves, a new meat offering, which speaks of the church, that one body of which we have been talking, which is formed out of the Jew and the Gentile, and presented during this present time. And we do not have dates from the time of the day of Pentecost on down until we get to a new order of things in verse 23, which speaks of the time when God will again begin his dealings with this world and with the Jew to bring in the wonderful day of millennial blessing. So there is much, but one only wanted to point out to you the order of these chapters. A people separated and holy and for the Lord, and which he says are mine. And then priests. We are all that. We are born into that position if we're born again. That's not the question of the latter part of the chapter, but it is there. The holiness which goes along with that position, and so that we can occupy it in that intimate place, and then the perfect offering, the offering without blemish, and then the full revelation of God.